from WAMU 88.5 at American University in Washington. Welcome to the Kojo Namdi Show with the computer guys and gal. For some reason, the computer guys and gal this month want to scare you into submission with tales of undead operating systems, Mac clones, zombie computers, and all kinds of other stuff. But the main question that I'd like to know is why it is that all of the computer guys and gal want to talk about Microsoft and the XP system, and none of them seem to want to talk about the breakdown of the cozy developing relationship between Microsoft and Yahoo. We'll find out about that. Our computer guys and gal, John Gilroy, is a WAMU computer guy and the director of business development at Solutions Developers. Hi, John.
Greetings.
Bill Harlow is also a computer guy and a former Mac genius. He's now a Macintosh consultant at Mid-Atlantic Consulting. Good to see you, Bill.
Good seeing you, too.
And here, trolling for Mother's Day gifts, is Allison Druin.
You know
please,
it.
Please.
Director of the Human-Computer Interaction Lab at the University of Maryland College Park. You all want to talk, it would seem, about Microsoft and XP and Vista. Microsoft XP is definitely dead in June. Why is it not definitely dead in June, Allison?
Well, this is impressive. Dell came up with this great, great scheme, okay, that basically said, now, if your Vista product suddenly goes bad, I've got a backup copy of XP. No problem. And then, you know, so, and what we'll do is we'll install it for you before you ever get the machine. So don't worry about that bad Vista copy. Well, and so what they're doing is they're saying, Microsoft, yes, this was another box that went out with Vista in it. But, oh, yeah, we had to put XP on it. And so, you know what? That can go on indefinitely.
Thank God for lawyers, huh?
for those people who may still never have heard of Vista, that's the updated version of the Microsoft software. It's
operating system.
The Microsoft operating system.
Yeah.
And, of course, those of us who still love and have XP don't even want to hear about Vista. And the things we're hearing are not good.
You know, and I my company's a Microsoft partner, of course, so I have to be judicious about my phrasing of this. But it looks like...
Spell judicious.
I'm going to act judicious as I'm spelling it. I have to be judicious about my comments here. It looks like it needed some super-duper hardware, and many of the corporations just didn't want to cough up the money to bump up the systems to run the fancy graphics. And if you don't have the hardware to handle Vista, lots of RAM, a fancy video card, and then you're going to have some troubles. You're going to have troubles with compatibility and a lot of other things. And the statistics I've read about installations of Vista are...
Horrible.
Shocking.
Mm-hmm. Bad.
That's all I'm allowed to say.
Bill, tell me something good about Vista.
It's pretty.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that.
I mean, it's pretty, and I think, you know, I keep saying this, I as much as fun as it's to knock them about it, especially being the Mac guy on the show, I mean, it's going to take time before it gets adopted and it gets mature and people use it. I'm sure in a few years we'll forget all about this.
Yeah, but, you know, look at the update on Leopard, you know, and it was like, and people went, oh, love it. Let's go.
Well, this isn't Leopard, though. This is like when they went from Mac OS 9 to Mac OS 10.
All right. Yeah, that's true. But still.
And that was horrible. That was really, really horrible.
This was not a small step for mankind.
No, it was not.
It really wasn't. I guess you're right.
Okay. Well, this way, it was trouble for Mac people, and Apple sells like 5 computers.
I mean, right. Okay.
There's like 20 million different configurations of PCs out there.
So is
Bill really here defending Microsoft today?
I know. It's sort of a little weird, isn't it? I think it's the haircut.
It's more you know? Pity than...
Well,
than
it's more confidence pity. Is what it is. It's confidence because market share for Macintosh is, guess what?
Going
just
up.
The opposite.
I was about to say Bill is simply being modest because, Allison, is Vista causing people to switch to Macs?
I don't know, but it's sure it's helping me do it because I'm there. I'm there, folks. Yes, I am.
Almost outnumbered, Kojo.
So wait a minute,
you
kept
turn to the dark side?
Yeah.
You don't have an iPhone.
Yeah, but I still have my
there.
BlackBerry. Anyway, no, I tell you, I'm seriously considering the MacBook.
You didn't return the MacBook Air, did you?
I'm going to be returning.
You're not returning her phone calls?
No. I really am returning. Jen, I love her so much. Anyway, no, I'm giving back this wonderful MacBook Air. For those of you that did not listen last month, I can't believe you did. didn't. But yes, my friend lent me this MacBook Air for a month to see if I wanted to keep it. I'm keeping it for 2 months, but I am going to go to a MacBook, but not an Air.
Are you going to install Windows on it?
I am.
Knew it.
Yeah.
She knew that John Gilroy would be here today, so she didn't bring it with her. Okay.
I tried to steal last time.
The dropper is here.
I am so not going there.
800-433-8850 is the number to call if you'd like to join in this conversation with the computer guys and gal. You can send email to Kojo, K-O-J-O, at WAMU.org. Are we about done with Vista for the time being? So it would appear. John Gilroy feels...
Well, thanks a lot.
That was a good word, John.
This is like the McLaughlin.
That wasn't
group.
A question.
True or false? False. Neck. Wait a minute.
John,
it's Kojo McLaughlin.
What are these must-visit, very important sites for every listener?
Well, I would just like to make an announcement to all the ladies and gentlemen who are listening. Now, I've looked at Kojo's shows for the last 6 weeks, and he talks about political freedom, he talks about genetic discrimination, talks about foreign policy. Kojo, let's get serious for a change. Let's go to a website like catsthatlooklikehitler.com and really explore the reality out there. And another important website is...
They're called Kittlers, by the way.
Do you look like your dog.com is another important site. I mean, why worry about the war in Iraq and elections? I mean, you know, do you look like your dog.com? Now that's finally can generate some conversation with listeners.
I think we finally got something that can cause us to strike him from this broadcast entirely.
Yes, yes.
That was just...
What are those cats called? Kittlers?
That was entirely too idiotic.
What are they called? Kittlers, did you say?
Kittlers, yes. That's what
I want to know.
Don't cats, you read your own ridiculous website?
I think WAMU listeners should be sophisticated to know that.
You're beginning to look a little Kittlerish yourself to me, as a matter of fact. Now, security. Hundreds of thousands of Microsoft web servers have been hacked, Bill Harlow.
That's what they say. Some interesting things there. Apparently, if you do a search for a certain bit of malicious code in Google, you'll find hundreds of thousands of hits here. And apparently what it does is it's a bit of malware that can be injected into a website that can redirect you to another site that could potentially infect your system. So I'm not sure, John, if there's a fix out there. I thought Microsoft had a couple of workarounds, but it seems like the best cases is to just be extra cautious when you're visiting sites, even ones you may apparently trust, and maybe even do things like turn off JavaScript or consider using a different browser other than Internet Explorer.
I think for a lot of these exploits, I think for a listener who's listening at home and not at work, but if you're a home listener, you may want to look at something called OpenDNS. It's opendns.org. It's free. What you do is you go there and you redirect your browser to go to them first before you go to a different site. So in other words, if Kojo is about to go to scamofthemonthclub.com and he types it in his browser, it'll pop and go, whoa, there's problems with this site. There might be malicious code on this site. There might be malicious code at catsthatlooklikehitler.com. And so it'll block you from going there. It's a free service, and I'm starting to recommend it. It's only been around for about, I think, maybe less than a year.
And you can do content filtering, too, if you have small kids, right?
Right, and that's great. I think we talked about it last time when listeners call in, they have questions. But I think it works for everybody because it can prevent a lot of malicious code from attacking.
And you can find links to all of those websites at kojoshow.org. Before we move off the issue of Microsoft altogether, Allison, Microsoft apparently is not banking its future, in your view, on Vista.
Yeah, they have announced something called Live Mesh.
Live Mesh.
I don't know how many listeners have heard about cloud computing, but the notion of how do you have lots and lots of computers all connected together doing each computer is actually doing one small process, but together they're actually doing the power of what some of these parallel computers back in the 80s and 90s were doing. And now these cloud computing centers, service centers, centralized data centers have been popping up in Amazon, Google, Yahoo. And so Microsoft says, hey, we're getting in there, all right, a little bit later than the other folks. But they've now have something they're working on called Live Desktop. And that's an application on top of Live Mesh that basically says, hey, you've got lots of different devices. You want to synchronize. You want to make sure you can access your materials from all different places. This is a way to do it. This is the future. Now, what are the challenges? Certainly. Do we want all of our stuff stored at Microsoft? Let's think about that. We also have to think about how this, you know, this announcement in terms of what's a business model for this. This is very sort of advanced, and they're still trying to figure out essentially how this meshes with with the existing offerings that they have in terms of operating systems and such.
You know, I think the point we're kind of
speaking of a man
towards,
who has his head in the clouds.
Yes, I do. You know, the future of shrink wrap software is not optimistic. I mean, I think that, you know, in 10, 15 years, your kids, Allison, may not even know what shrink wrap software is.
That's right.
And they may just assume everything is going to be software as a service. And this is just an attempt, I think.
I'm sure with a monthly fee and subscription rather than actually something
right.
you buy once or upgrade
exactly.
occasionally.
So
exactly.
people are saying, which way is this market going to go? And maybe this whole idea of service as a software as a service and web-based and using browsers, all of a sudden, it doesn't make Vista that important anymore, does it? All of a sudden, doesn't make Microsoft's cash cow, Windows and Office, which they get $30 billion a year from,
that's
all
right.
that important.
In 15 years, Allison Druin's kids might not know what shrink wrap software is, but forever they'll know what Mother's Day is.
They better. And that's
here
coming
to remind
up.
Us all. Allison Druin is the director of the Human Computer Interaction Lab at the University of Maryland College Park. She joins Computer Guy's John Gilroy, director of business development at Solutions Developers, and Bill Harlow, Macintosh consultant at Mid-Atlantic Consulting for the Computer Guys and Gal. Allow me to go to the telephones and go to Joe, who is on the road somewhere in Virginia. Joe, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. Just back to the XP versus Vista topic. You know, I lived through the whole mess from Windows 95, which was problematic, to say the least, and 98, which promised to make things better but only made it worse until the second edition came out. The big confusing mess of XP, of the ME in 2000 mm-hmm. and NT. When XP came out, it was the first, well, after Service Pack 2 came out anyhow, it's been the first really solid operating system from Microsoft since DOS version 5. And I'm extremely happy to be off the rat wheel of operating system chaos, and I intend to stay off. I'm looking right now at buying a new low-end laptop. I have the high-end desktop systems. I only need a little bit of power when I'm moving around. Most of them seem to come with Vista installed and without enough memory to run Vista properly.
Yep, right. Yeah,
exactly.
The first,
exactly.
Like
first
that.
Thing that I'm going to do when I get that new laptop is wipe the hard disk and put XP on it.
Joe, thank you for that trip down memory lane. Well, are a lot of people likely to be doing the same thing that Joe's doing?
Well, we have a question from the audience just like that. She writes in, she has a notebook computer, and she's having problems with Vista. You know, XP you can run with 512 megs pretty
right.
easily. Vista, you know, you're probably going to...
Gig's bare minimum.
I think two. I think two is probably right. And so there are some, these mini tiny notebooks that you may not be able to get more than a meg
right.
or a gig on there. So it's a real question.
Okay. Thank you very much, Joe, for your call. Speaking of questions we have from listeners, this email we got from Mark, who says, my wife would really like a MacBook Air, but while trying one out at the Apple Store on Fifth Avenue, i.e. the famous glass cube, I realized a big limitation, the lack of alternative wireless internet. Right now, if she isn't near a free Wi-Fi spot, like when she takes the Amtrak train from D.C. to New York City, she uses a Verizon card. Are there any options for the Air, or do we just need to wait and hope? Thanks, it says. You guys and gal are great.
Well, the answer is definitely yes. There is really an option, which would be a USB modem from the likes of Verizon or other providers. Traditionally, people are used to getting a little card you insert into a PC card or express card slot in the computer. A handful of laptops even have the modem built in. But yeah, you can just get a USB device and plug it in. And I know there are drivers available for some of them out there, such as the ones from Verizon.
Now, the real thing she's got to wonder is whether or not her battery life's going to last her whole Amtrak train ride.
Do they have power?
2 hours.
I think they do.
And also whether or not that USB modem's going to cause it to like just tip over because it's so light.
It's so true.
We have a solution, faster Amtrak trains.
That's it.
And a paperweight on the other side of the MacBook.
There you go. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more of your questions and comments for the Computer Guys and Gal. The number is 800-433-8850. You can send email to kojo@wamu.org. I'm Kojo Namdi.
Good afternoon. You're listening to WAMU 88.5. I'm Matt McCleskey. We're airing the Kojo Namdi Show and all your favorite shows in their entirety for the rest of the day today as a thank you to all those who became new members or renewed their membership during Morning Edition today. Your support makes a difference. And it's not too late for you to do your part and to enter a drawing to win an iSonic 2 entertainment system from Polk Audio. You can do both by calling 800-248-8850 or by visiting WAMU.org. And thank you. WAMU 88.5 presents special coverage of the Indiana and North Carolina primaries tonight starting at 8 o'clock. All Things Considered will continue until 10 o'clock with hosts Michelle Norris and Melissa Block bringing you up-to-the-minute primary results as they are available. And starting at 10 p.m., we'll have a live one-hour call-in special to give listeners a chance to react to and discuss the evening's results. That's hosted by Neil Conan. That's WAMU 88.5 special primary coverage starting tonight at 8 o'clock.
Support for WAMU 88.5 comes from CDWG. With thousands of technology products in stock, they're there to get public sector customers what they need when they need it on purchasing vehicles specific to their organizations. CDWG, the right technology right away. From the University of Maryland, Baltimore County's Department of Information Systems, offering an online master's program in information systems. Applications for summer semester are due May 11th. Information is at www.onlinems.umbc.edu.
It's the computer guys and gal. Allison, remember Mother's Day. Druin is director of the Computer Interaction Lab at the University of Maryland College Park.
Materialistic.
John, yes. Remember Father's Day. Gilroy is director of business development at Solutions Developers. And Bill, heck, just give me a gift any day, Harlow.
Exactly.
Macintosh.
Every day is Bill Day.
At Mid-Atlantic Consulting. You can join us at 800-433-8850 or send an email to kojo@wamu.org. John Gilroy just sealed the deal about being kicked off of the show by reminding us of these very important,
very important
20th this is the gift anniversary that keeps on giving.
Of spam. How do you know it's the 20th anniversary of spam?
Because unlike you, I worry about these things. I toss and turn at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I wonder if my cat really does look like Hitler or not. I wonder if I look like my dog, probably a boxer or a bulldog.
Probably got
and
some spam.
It's the 20th anniversary of the first spam message. Let's have a round of applause for spam. Yay!
I'm abstaining from that. Thank you.
Good grief. And Allison, now for something that is not about either Microsoft or Apple. Social computing, user-generated content, comes to the comics and to the movies.
Yeah, this is so cool. This is so great. Okay, and Bill, you got to get there, all right? First of all, do you think, John, that you are funnier than Dilbert cartoonist Doug Adams?
I'm not only funnier, but I'm funny-looking, too.
Well, now you can replace the cartoonist punchline guy.
There was a punchline right there.
Punchy is what I'd say. Yeah, anyway, then other folks can vote on you. Okay, and vote on how cool it is. And soon they're actually going to be able to remove all of the words and you'll be able to put in the whole dialogue. So I got on there, of course, and I'm reading this. And it was very cool because here's this really cool thing he drew. And these guys are replacing his words. And it was amazing. So and he actually, Doug Adams is a real big believer of the internet. And he really believes that user-generated content is where the future is going. In fact, he even said, quote, if people are producing 500 punchlines a day, it's inevitable that some of them are going to be funnier. It's just a matter of scale. Now, and
this is top-notch information on this show.
She's
today.
Getting kicked off, too.
All right. Mr. Hitler.
Wait. I have to tell you about Spike Lee.
Headed towards the Bill and Kojo show.
Wait. But Spike Lee.
It's going to be Bill Gates.
Keep my mouth shut.
Now, don't you want to be a movie producer, okay?
Spike Lee. I'm already a movie producer.
Spike Lee.
Come on.
So movie producer Spike Lee.
40 acres on a cell phone.
I'm telling you. Oh, my God. So he gets together with Nokia, all right, and they're planning to make a film.
Out of the goodness
film.
Of his heart.
I know. I'm so sure.
To help creative minds, right?
Again, user-generated content. It's where the future
user-generated
is.
User-generated money for Spike Lee is what it is.
How do you think that movie will turn out?
Well,
a movie made with cell phone-generated content.
It can't be anything
terrible.
Worse than on YouTube.
No, YouTube's great.
And they're going to have an LA premiere. Don't you want to be there, you know, with the dress and the heels and everything?
I'm just trying to imagine what cell phone content will look like on a huge movie screen.
It'll be terrible.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Exactly.
Of.
It's, can't Spike Lee find
it's the future.
Scam?
You all are Fuddy Duddies. My
it's
goodness.
It's Spike Lee scam. Come on.
Oh, it's great. It's
just
the future.
With Harold and Kumar. Here's Libby in Washington, D.C.
Better than the cat.
Libby, you are on the air. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon. I have a dilemma. I'm not really very techie. My desktop is a Macintosh, the last edition before they switched to the dual chip. My laptop is a Windows XP unit, which I have to have for some proprietary software that only runs on Windows. I'm going to Australia this fall, and I need to have a computer with me basically so I can access Skype because I'm going to need to call home every day. And I wanted to – I've been looking at the ultra-mobile computers, and I was looking this weekend at the new Asus EEE 4G unit, which comes loaded with either Linux or XP, and depending on where you buy it. And I've never used Linux, and it says in the advertising medium that it's XP compatible. They have an 8 gigabyte unit, which is it's all flash memory. It's not a rotating hard drive, but that's only available in Linux. How would Windows applications work on Linux? What would I have to do to get that to work?
Bill, why don't you take that one?
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm really glad you're not a tech.
First, thank you for asking a legitimate question, getting us back on track here. We definitely needed that. But as far as how Windows programs are run in Linux, I mean, there are very technical things like Wine, which geeks like us mess with to attempt it. Not realistic for you. You can put XP on there, but from what I've seen, having not used a AAA PC, but having read about it, it sounds like the performance is pretty awful when doing something like that. And the quote I got from Allison when talking about this device briefly off the air was that keyboard is painful. So I don't think it's a realistic option, and I would say you'd probably better off taking your existing laptop that runs XP than invest in one of these.
Are you at all aware of whether the Asus is going to put out their 8G unit in an XP version?
Haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah, it's a good question because it's a pretty volatile kind of thing right now. I think they're staying away from talking about it.
Yeah, how is the, you know, I mean, I'm not going to be doing any real power computing at all. I'm just going to be using it for an internet connection, and it's the Price is Right type thing. Are there any other really inexpensive, small laptops that I should consider?
I think from what I've seen, generally, you know, if it's good and it's small, it's expensive. And if you want something that's very affordable and runs okay, it's going to be a bit bulky.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's a trade-off between what you can lug along and what you can afford.
Anyway, good luck to you, Libby, and thank you for your call. We got an email from Teresa who says, I tried to email a letter to the editor of the Washington Post. I use Verizon email, but appeared I could not email it without installing Microsoft Outlook. Since I did not want to install Outlook, I couldn't send my letter. Have you encountered this before? Websites set up to allow only a single kind of email. Do you think this was intentional by the Washington Post web team or an unintentional mistake? Conspiracy.
I have all conspiracy theories, and I think
yeah, they don't want to hear from you.
Yeah, I mean Watergate. I have sent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails to the Washington Post from all kinds of different machines, different
locations.
And
no one's printed anything.
And they've printed tons, and I've never had any problem ever. So. Check your spelling and then go back to it. And you know, just last week I sent an email to someone down there, and so I think this is ridiculous.
Not a problem. Here's David in Front Royal, Virginia. David, your turn.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I want something so simple for my computer. I can't believe it's not available on every computer. I just wanted to wake up in the morning, act like an alarm clock, get WAMU on, get my Outlook up, my calendar and my email. I just want it to start by itself. And I don't know if I have to buy a program for that. It just seems like it's too simple a request.
I got the answer. It's called Get a Wife. Get a wife.
Get a wife. Get a
just in time for Mother's Day.
John, get a life.
Oh, that was good.
That's the answer, isn't it?
How can he use his computer like an alarm clock?
I don't know of any programs that'll do that. Do you, Bill? I've never heard of anything.
I mean, there's definitely stuff out there, but I mean, on the Mac side, you've got the energy saver preferences let you set a wake-up schedule or a startup schedule for the computer. You can have it auto-log in. You can tell it to have programs open automatically, and then you can script it. So I think there's even ones that will actually use iTunes like an alarm clock as like a small program that'll do that. But I think scripting's probably the answer if you want something very specific to get in there and open it up. I don't know if that's available for XP, though.
No.
Well, it seems, like I said, too simple a request. Why hasn't somebody thought of this? It seems like everybody would take advantage of it. The other question is on shutting down. I can't just tell it to shut down and walk away. It seems like I got WMS, Idle, CC app, a couple of different things that if I don't wait for it to go through its process, then it'll just stay on all day after I go to work.
I think CC app is Norton, if I'm not mistaken. You have Norton on your machine?
I'm sorry?
David, do you have Norton on your machine, the antivirus?
I do.
Yeah, I think that's what CC app is. Something is not installed or uninstalled correctly. Maybe you had a failed installation on there, but these applications are designed to turn off. You have something's running or not installed properly. I think you may have a damaged file. We've talked about the utilities to look. I mean, there's a couple things to look at. You can look under the hood with something like what's running and see what's running, what isn't running. Maybe there's a conflict between something that's on there. Maybe there's two versions on there. Or maybe when you uninstalled your Norton and reinstalled it, you didn't completely pull out everything. It could be something locked in a DLL.
Or maybe it just needs to be updated. I mean, but it's just the program isn't fully shutting down properly. Something's hanging, so either it's incompatibility or damage.
The Norton does need to be updated. The last thing I installed was when I just went down and paid $400 for Outlook, and I just wish I could get up and have it on for me in the morning.
Well, you know, David, it seems to me that if you have a computer that doesn't want to go to sleep at night and then doesn't want to wake up in the morning, you've got a crackhead computer.
A crackhead computer.
Well, there's your comment on XP. Thank you.
Whoa, boy, we're getting beat up today, Kojo.
Oh,
I'm
sure
going to have to go home and cry now.
David, thank you very much for your call.
Whoa.
Bill, Apple has recorded record profits.
This has been going on a lot, actually. I swear, I see this almost every quarter, it seems. But yeah, their profits went way up. They sold a lot of Macs. The highlights for that, I think, were it was over 2 million for the quarter, I believe,
mm-hmm.
which is a pretty decent number. I think a lot of them are laptops, or more and more are laptops. And that is, I think, the future of computing.
Did you say there's a billion Windows computers installed in the world today?
A billion, huh?
Yeah, I got that confused. I'm sorry. So there's 2 million. That's fine.
John, well, sit there quietly for a second.
Thank you. Speaking of how Apple is doing, this email we got from Dave, who said the Fortune.com blog recently said Mac's consumer market share is now at 21%. This made me think of some interesting questions like, one, can we distinguish personal sales from business sales? And two, does anyone measure actual computer usage rather than just sales? Since anecdotally, Mac users keep their machines online longer and don't seem to replace them as often. I thought about all of this because earlier this month, I experienced severe frustration with the State Department's online passport application system. It would not load at all using Apple Safari, then using Firefox. I was finally able to fill out data, but it wouldn't let me save it or submit it or print it. When do you think companies will finally stop thinking no one uses Macs and thus not making their websites Mac compatible, says Dave. Conspiracy number two.
Fair question.
Well, it's not a conspiracy, but I mean, first of all, as far as how many are consumer versus business purchases, how many are actively being used, I think it's interesting that you have industry analysts and even they can't give us an accurate number, so I have no idea what it really is. But I was poking around in Wikipedia because you can look up and get some interesting data from browser and platform usage stats, get an idea of what's actively being done on the web. And I've seen numbers for active Mac users hovering anywhere from 7% to 4%. So that still isn't accurate because you can actually set some browsers to act like they're Windows or act like they're different browsers. But at least it's something interesting to look at. And as for Macs being taken more seriously by places like the government, which I think should care more about testing for full compatibility and accessibility for, you know, two very popular operating systems, XP or Windows and Mac OS. It's slowly happening. There was an article I saw that was actually kind of interesting, that IBM actually has a Mac pilot program for their employees where they actually want some of their, I believe, sales team to, you know, buy Macs internally, try them out, see what they think. And the response has been pretty favorable. The vast majority of people who tried this want to keep them.
Yes, it's so true. But, you know, it is the law, you know, according to the government, people all around our country should be able to access the documents online. And so, in fact, the whole usability area of e-government is something that there a lot of right. folks are looking into, and actually a lot of policy folks. But hey, browser usability has been a problem since before time,
right.
you know?
And it may not even been a Mac PC issue. It may have been like a version of Acrobat or something
exactly.
that we didn't have updated.
Exactly.
Speaking of access, here's Rachel in Chevy Chase, Maryland, wanted to talk about the Post website and how to open things. Rachel, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you. I can explain what this person is talking about. If you go to the Washington Post website and you click on, say, contact us, and then you click on, you know, somebody's column, it automatically opens up an Outlook email because it assumes that's the default. If you don't want to use Outlook, you just copy the email address and put it into whatever your email system
right.
is. But many, many computers are set up so that as soon as you click on, not just in the Post, but in lots of different websites, it just automatically opens up an Outlook email, whether you're using Outlook or not.
I think it's an operating system setting, too. I believe if you open Outlook and it sees it's not the default, it'll probably prompt you to become the default. So I think you probably can change that permanently if you have a different mail program you use. And at that point, I believe that other web browsers, when you go and click on a link, will go to the right email program.
Yeah, again.
So to anything, it's just that a lot of computers are automatically set up to Outlook,
sure.
no matter what you are or aren't using.
That's
okay.
Right.
Thank you very much.
So that should explain the problem.
Thank you very much for your call, Rachel. John Gilroy, what is the U.S. Senate doing on the issue of net neutrality? We haven't talked about that for a while.
You know, I think this is an issue for many listeners who are sitting at home, and they're essentially looking at a monopoly or maybe a duopoly. They can use cable, they can use DSL. Well, anytime you have that much dominance, you normally don't get much competition. And it seems to me in the last few years, I don't think competition has been encouraged. And generally what happens, prices go up, and that's what we see in the cable industry, prices are going up. And I think the Senate's going to have to do something. I mean, I don't want to get too political here, but if you read what's been going on in decisions in the last few years, they're trying to let the market regulate itself. And you know, if you have a monopoly, it's awful hard to regulate a monopoly. With a monopoly, you have to have some kind of stronger regulation. Even if you want to do hands-off government, well, if you want a hands-off government, then you can't have a monopoly. So I think there's more regulation that has to take place no matter who gets elected, and I don't want to get serious here, who gets elected in the next couple of years. It doesn't make sense because I think these cable companies are just going to jack it until they can't stop.
On to Sam in Arlington, Virginia. Sam, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi there. I have a question for you about displays, flat panel displays for the Macintosh. I'm a longtime Apple user, one of the tower users, not a laptop or the other types of Macs. I am ready for my next computer system, and I've noticed that the displays in the Apple Store have not been upgraded for almost 2 years now, while all the other lines have. I'm just curious, should I continue waiting for another display to come out from Apple, or should I just buy another brand to put with my next Mac?
Well, I'll tell you what, I have a Dell display at home I'm very happy with. It's a 20-inch that turns out they source the same flat panel that Apple uses in their 20-inch, so I'm very happy with that. I would say, unless you absolutely love the look of the Apple display, or you know, if they just updated them so you know they're current again, there's really no reason to get them. I mean, the only unique advantage, in my opinion, is they look gorgeous aesthetically, and they have a built-in FireWire port, which is kind of nice. But tons of manufacturers make really good displays. Some of Dell's higher-end offerings are really nice. NEC has some really nice pro-level displays. LaCie makes ones that are basically rebadged NECs that have been tuned to perform even better. So I say look at some other vendors and just pick the display you want. Get one with a DVI connector, and you should be fine.
Hey, Sam.
I read the blogs and about this, and a lot of people have guessed that maybe Apple's getting out of the display business because they haven't come out with a new one in a long time. One advantage to buying the Apple display when you buy your Macintosh computer is that if you buy the extended warranty protection plan, the 3-year plan, it covers the display along with the computer, whereas if I were to buy another manufacturer's display, I wouldn't get that.
That is true, but you have to buy them at the same time, and of course at this point, you know, some of the Apple displays are getting long in the tooth, so I don't think the value proposition is there anyway. So the extended warranty probably doesn't really add that much to you. But I don't think Apple's going to get out of the display industry either, because a lot of people who buy Macs buy Apple displays because they're in the store or they just love the way they look. So it's definitely, you know, generating a lot of profit. I don't know why they'd give that up.
Hey, Sam, thank you very much for your call. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll return to the computer guys and gal and your phone calls. We still have a couple of lines open, 800-433-8850, or you can send email to kojo@wamu.org. I'm Kojo Namdi. Coming up at 1, Happy Hour gets started early as we debate whether beer or wine is a better pairing with summer foods. Today at 1 on the Kojo Namdi Show on WAMU 88.5.
Good afternoon. I'm Matt McCleskey. Coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon, it's Tell Me More with Michelle Martin.
Next time on Tell Me More, our Mocha Moms are back to give us our weekly dose of parenting advice. This week, just in time for Mother's Day, they'll tell us the best advice they got from their own moms. I'm Michelle Martin. We'll talk about what Mama said that still rings true. That's next time on Tell Me More.
That's Tell Me More, coming up at 2 o'clock here on WAMU 88.5.
Support for WAMU 88.5 comes from CDWG. With thousands of technology products in stock, they're there to get public sector customers what they need when they need it on purchasing vehicles specific to their organizations. CDWG, the right technology right away. From the University of Maryland Baltimore County's Department of Information Systems, offering an online master's program in information systems. Applications for summer semester are due May 11th. Information is at www.onlinems.umbc.edu.
Mostly sunny skies are in the forecast for the afternoon, with high temperatures in the upper 70s. It's currently 75 degrees in northwest Washington at 1242. As we return now to the Kojo Namdi Show on WAMU 88.5.
Where we're talking with computer guy John Gilroy, Director of Business Development at Solutions Developers, Bill Harlow, Macintosh Consultant at Mid-Atlantic Consultant, and Allison Druin, Director of the Human-Computer Interaction Lab at the University of Maryland College Park. Allison, tell me what Google is going to be able to do for my image.
Yeah, they've just come out with, not out for everyone to use, but in their research labs, something called Visual Rank. And that's going to rank images on actually their visual themes. All of your images are actually ranked based on the text that goes with images. And so they have computer scientists that have been working on blending image recognition software methods with ranking. And looking at the most similar images. And so, for instance, if you have the same shapes within an image, you can actually compare. And then what they did was they've actually concentrated on 2,000 of the most popular product searches and started to see if this visual ranking system actually is working well. And it's quite amazing what they've been able to do.
So if you had a picture of a dog, let's say, and then a picture of a human, you might be able to find a dog that might look like
you. Or a picture of Hitler and a picture of a kitten, perhaps.
Right. Speaking of getting silly, Allison, is there something that you have discovered that might be even sillier than the computer guys and gal?
Yes. It's so strange. Scent delivery chips for cell phones. Okay, we're talking.
I'm in. PU.
We are talking that some German company, ConVisual, is partnering with the Institute of Sensory Analysis and Marketing on these chips for cell phones, and they just received a patent on the technology. And the goal is now to start building these chips into phones in the next couple of years. And the chips are initially supposed to have 100 different smells in it. And they say, yes, it is true. Bad smells are a possibility.
So around Kojo and Bill, they are.
definitely potential for evil, then.
Yeah, but,
saying.
You know, scents for your game, scents for, holidays. I'm sending you a holiday message with cinnamon. Won't be available for another year.
So I can set it up so that it have, like, scent ringtones. So if John, you call me, I smell sulfur.
Yeah, there you go.
John, is that what you refer to as the scratch and sniff computer?
Scratch and sniff cell phone.
How do we find two smelly things and one...
Well, right here, Bill and Kojo. The Kojo sent the Bill.
Now, sent. Now.
Well, John Gilroy, what is a velociraptor.
What a great marketing
velociraptor,
name.
Velociraptor, velociraptor.
I mean,
say that three times quickly.
If I was in a car business, I'd name a car that or something, or a cell phone, that would be a good one. There's a new hard drive out about 35%
faster. That's disappointing.
Faster.
Hard drive, velociraptor? I mean,
yeah, a hard drive called,
waste of a name.
It's 35% faster than the typical hard drive. The Mac books, I think, have 7,500 RPM hard drives.
Yeah.
And these
are
10,000 RPM hard drive. Anyway, faster, better, stronger. 300 gig hard drive, about $300. So for the people who have a lot of music or video they want to store and quickly retrieve it, this is a great
This is what
product.
A desktop-sized hard drive, right?
Yeah, it's a great
Okay, and before we go back to the phones and emails, tell us about who is trying to sell Mac clones, Bill.
So this company called Systar has this thing called the Open Computer, which is basically a commodity PC put together that can run Mac operating system Leopard, which is great, I suppose, because everybody's asking for a cheap desktop that's upgradable that you know they can get in there and tinker with. Downside is you have to supply the OS yourself, you have to install it yourself. If you try to run the Apple software updates that do things like fix bugs, patch security holes, you may break your operating system. Then you have a computer you have to go and tweak or potentially reinstall. And it also apparently sounds like a vacuum cleaner.
That's what I want.
That's a minor detail. You want an Electrolux under your desk at all times. I mean, I've heard some reports saying that I could not live with this on a daily basis kind of loud.
Wow. But Systar is going to market this thing retail for, what, $399 when the lowest cost Mac... The Mac Mini starts at $599.
But it doesn't sound like a vacuum cleaner, and it works, so...
Go figure, huh? Mm.
Hey.
There you go.
It's all about cloning. Now, back to the telephones. Here now is Dennis in Chevy Chase, Maryland. Dennis, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I'd like to tell you about a tech support call I had with Microsoft that was very enlightening. A few problems. First of all, Explorer.exe failed to work. It would bring up the start bar at the bottom and then crash. So it wouldn't bring up the desktop. So I went through a whole process of trying to fix that. One of the things I wanted to do is make sure I had a backup. So I imaged the drive over to another drive, and then, it worked perfectly. Got Explorer to work, no problem. And then I defragged it, and it started to fail. I got a missing HAL.DLL message, and then I started talking to Microsoft. At that point, they told me that there were a few things that they really couldn't do for me. One is backup. They really said that they had no mechanism that fully backed up your computer, which I believe. The second thing is that the defragment, well, it's not 100%. It's not supposed to touch system files, but it might screw up some things. I did fix boot. I did check disk. I did a lot of other things. They also told me checkdisk/R actually isn't 100%. And I couldn't believe this. I kept calling back, 17 hours worth of tech support calls, same answers. At least they were consistent, but I was amazed that these particular things didn't actually work 100%. Things that I've been relying on for 25 years.
Allow me to have John Gilroy administer your last rites.
Check this task. That's an old DOS command I used years and years ago with DOS. I mean, I think what Microsoft tries to do is it tries to have some general utilities in the operating system, and there's all kinds of alternatives for backing up. There's all kinds of alternatives for defragging. There's all kinds of alternatives for everything, and I think Microsoft realizes they're not the bee's knees for every utility out there, and that's why they let other companies make utilities for it, and that's what I think is going on here. So, I'm sorry to hear that, and I've been there, done that, and had a lot of frustration with Windows as well, and I think what you want to do is rather than making an image backup, I would always just back up the data to two places, a CD and an external hard drive, and then reload the operating system, bring the data back in, because if you image something, you could image some of the damaged files or image some of the malicious code. So imaging sounds good, and a lot of listeners really encourage the use of it, but I'm not convinced.
Yeah, I use both.
Good.
That way I have a backup, and if I need to get up and running, I can do that.
The belt and suspenders approach.
Exactly.
We got another email about backup from Kaz, who said, I spent 6 weeks recovering from a hard drive failure, even though all my data was backed up. So you don't have to administer last rites to him. He recovered.
Yeah.
Now I use Ghost to make a second hard drive copy every day. I had a second hard drive failure and recovered in 30 seconds by swapping cables. Why do I not hear people talking about Ghost as a simple, easy backup instead of all of the complicated backup schemes? Am I doing something wrong? wrong?
I think we just talked about
it. It's a good program. I've used it.
I've used Ghost since before Norton even bought them. They were Northern Illinois when they first started, and I know that I used to talk to the guys years ago in the 90s when they started. So I like the program. It's just that a lot of times you're not going to have hardware compatibility. If you try to ghost something to a USB hard drive, the USB port may not work with it.
Right.
Or you may not be able to boot from the USB port. You may have a BIOS problem or a hardware problem. So the hardware, you almost have to buy identical hardware that's current in order to use Ghost effectively.
Yeah, Ghost is really made for the same computer. You really can't migrate.
I think if you're a power user and you really know your stuff and your hardware is all compatible, you may be able to get away with it. But I think for most of us out there, the members of the great unwashed like me, I think an external hard drive backup to that. And I like your idea of having the data backed up and then having maybe a ghost image somewhere, but you're more of a power user, Bill, I think. I mean, most folks out there, you know, external hard drive is pretty cheap, pretty easy to take. You know, you can have my documents and just put it in the external hard drive. I mean, that's not, you know, too tricky.
Here's Chase in Brunswick, Maryland. Chase, your turn.
Oh, hey, guys. My question kind of evolved over the past 15 minutes, but...
is it easier or harder? If it's easier, keep talking.
Yeah. Well, I'm a gamer, and I want to use DirectX 10, but I don't want to use Vista because I don't see any point of wasting a gig of my RAM and processor power to run, you know, Explorer. Half the time I shut down Explorer when I'm playing games anyways on my XP. But I didn't know if they, since they're having all these problems, if maybe they're going to come out with patches so you can use DirectX 10 on XP.
I haven't heard anything about that, but to be honest, from all the articles I've seen, there's almost, at least with current shipping games, there's basically no benefit. I mean, if you, I've taken very high-res screenshots and compared DirectX 9 versus 10 as far as the 3D gaming performance and image quality, and if you didn't tell me which was which, I would have absolutely no idea. So I really don't think you're missing out. I say just enjoy what you have and don't fret about it.
I think it's just being hyped up a bit.
Yeah, I think so. It's just one more thing to, you know, try to entice you to go to Vista before you really need to.
Okay, thank you very much for your call, Chase. John, tell us about iPhone envy. What would Freud say?
What would Freud say about that? That's what I like to know. Freud talked about envy using another term before that word, I'm sure. What's happening is iPhone is earth-shaking, and it's impacting everything. In fact, I've seen studies I got right in front of me of, you know, this is what's your favorite iPhone clone? it is such a earth-shaking technology that people are doing everything to try to adapt to it and change. Over the years, the many years on the air, I've seen very few technologies that have this kind of impact. And in fact, people are saying that this is going to have the whole cell phone industry and handheld devices, the iPhone's going to take and just move the whole industry towards that. It's stunning, and people are envious, I guess, of the profits and envious of the technology.
I mean, they're just showing that really good software can drive a good cell phone, and I think it's why I saw the Google Android initiative happen so quickly, because they also understood, software is where it is. You don't need, you know, it's a different colored flip phone or it's a little thinner. I mean, that ultimately doesn't mean that much.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a fanfare, because we come to the most important part of this broadcast today.
The end?
What to give? What to give your computer gal mother
for
Mother's Day?
The kids are listening.
And I guess who will talk about this right now?
I can't imagine.
I can't figure out who.
I can't imagine. Who could be?
Last
year I got a BlackBerry from Ben, okay?
Yes.
You know, and I thought, wow, what an interesting Mother's Day gift. So I started thinking, what would this computer gal want for this Mother's Day? And, you know, the hot new gift these days, folks, if you got money to burn, is a digital photo frame. All right, there are low end ones, high end ones. The higher end one, digital foci image moments, eight digit frame. It
rolls off the tongue.
Oh, I know. Oh, but it's got 450 megabytes of internal memory, and it's 800x600 display, and it's got a USB port, and you could do it, and you can look at all those really great pictures. And so, Ben, it's much cheaper than buying me a BlackBerry.
Boy, this is quite a hint here.
No, that's not a hint. That's more like an instruction.
It's a list of demands is what it is.
Yeah.
Unnegotiable, I'm sure.
Here's an email we got from Steve in Georgetown. By the way, good luck, Ben. That would be Ben Peterson. This email we got from Steve, who says, can any of your guests recommend a good travel mouse? I have a wireless Mac mouse that I use with my MacBook while traveling and while working at home, but it's kind of slushy and temperamental.
Slushy.
Did I just get a bum mouse, or is there a better model out there?
Well, the Apple mouse, yeah, I guess it is kind of slushy. I'm not really a fan of the slushy mouse. I would say a travel mouse. You've got that MacBook. You've got Bluetooth. Get a Bluetooth mouse. That way you're not carrying an extra adapter.
Touchpad, though. Why don't they just use the touchpad?
That's what I do, but he doesn't.
Yeah, me too.
So you can listen to Allison, or you can use what you want.
You can listen to me. Listen to Allison
or listen to reason.
Yeah, you can use what you want in the first place.
Nice,
so
nice.
Logitech has one. I think it's the model 470. It's small, it's Bluetooth, it's got an off switch, which is important. You don't want it bouncing around in your bag and being depleted when you pull it out. So I'd start looking at that, and maybe some from Kensington. I think Microsoft might have one too.
They're going to lose it. It's going to lose it in its bag in 10 seconds.
This email from Dan in Falls Church. Hearing the rumor of problems from power surges, doesn't using an uninterrupted power source battery guard against such problems? This is what I was told to get rather than surge protectors by some experienced users.
It's a great topic, and I think all the listeners are going to encounter some kind of problem with power surges sooner or later. You may just use your brick, but what if your brick gets fried? You know, I mean, if your surge suppressor gets fried, you can buy another one from anywhere, but if your brick gets fried, sometimes it's hard to replace it. If you have some problems with power, there's a company I recommend. It's called Zero Surge.
Yes,
based
and
in New Jersey.
Brickwall, too. I actually have one.
Yeah, and the contact up there is my good buddy, Rudy Harford. I talked to him 2 weeks ago. He's been in the business forever. He's an electrical engineer. He knows everything about surges, and it's a great company, a great product. There may be listeners with, depending on the neighborhood you're in, I was in an area of Baltimore yesterday called Mount Washington, kind of an older area that's being gentrified. You could have some funny power problems, especially with construction. So,
and the cheap power strips, too, they can fail, and you may not even be aware of that. Yeah, so.
Zero Surge, great product, great company.
Yeah,
so wait a second, you're gonna buy that for your wife for Mother's Day?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's getting the digital photo frame.
Oh, okay, good. All right, thank you.
iTunes is releasing new, issuing new releases the same day as the DVD is released?
Yep, they're trying to kill the DVD, I suppose.
It's so true.
iPod killed the DVD.
Yeah, it's a pretty comprehensive list of studios too. You've got Fox, Disney, Warner Brothers, Paramount, Universal, so Sony, Lionsgate, Image, a lot of big heavy hitters. So this could be the sign of things to come.
The beginning of the end of the DVD. A number of listeners have computer as alarm clock software suggestions. Mm. So if you want, we are going to do this right now. Excellent. We will promise that our crack computer guys and gal team will investigate whether these computer as alarm clock software suggestions are worth anything, and we'll report back next month.
As ordered, sir.
He lied cleverly. And I'm afraid that's about all the time we have. John Gilroy, who found himself somewhere on the outskirts of Baltimore yesterday and didn't know what he was doing there.
Mount Washington, a wonderful area, by the way.
He is Director of Business Development at Solutions Developers. Good to see you again. Bill Harlow is now a Macintosh consultant at Mid-Atlantic Consultant. He is a former Mac genius. Bill Harlow, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And Allison Druin, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Yeah.
Allison Druin is director of the Human Computer Interaction Lab at the University of Maryland College Park. I'm Kojo Nnamdi. Coming up tomorrow on the Kojo Nnamdi Show, improving the connection between Baltimore and Washington. Maryland says it wants to strengthen the MARC train. We find out whether commuters think it's working. Plus, the eccentric scientist who transformed our understanding of China. The Kojo Nnamdi Show, noon till 2 tomorrow on WAMU 88.5.
Good afternoon. I'm Matt McCleskey. The second hour of today's Kojo Nnamdi Show is coming up next.